Good evening. Welcome to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Let's read from verses 3 down to verse number 5. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 3 to 5. And Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Calvary. And we're thankful for this time, this evening, that we can be in your church, the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And we ask and pray, O God in heaven, that you would now fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you would guide us and lead us into truth, that you would glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus, and prepare our hearts for your table. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we do ask. Amen. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 28, the bulk of this chapter is an intermission from the life of David. It's quite interesting that we find a little bit of an intermission here in relation to David's life. And there is a final focus on King Saul before his death that is recorded in chapter 31. I'd like for us to see within this chapter the inconsistency that prevailed in Saul's life. He began his kingship with much promise, but he failed miserably. And one of those reasons was simply because he was inconsistent. Now we understand that only God is completely consistent with his character because he is God. Nobody can be perfectly consistent. So we're not referring to consistency on that level, perfection as God is perfect. But as we make reference to consistency this evening from the life of Saul, we're referring to that ability that you and I have in the power of the Holy Spirit to live a consistent life. Certainly, we're not referring to perfection. And one of the reasons why Saul failed miserably, had such great potential, was because he was inconsistent. So this evening I'd like to look at the cause of inconsistency. Let's begin by making sure that we understand the word consistency or inconsistency. To be inconsistent is to not stay the same. I looked it up in the dictionary and that's what it simply said, not staying the same. Self-contradictory. Self-contradictory elements in one's life. Erratic in behavior. Not compatible in keeping with guidelines. But to be consistent, it means to be unchangeable, predictable, to stand firm, to still exist. So the word inconsistency comes from the word consistency. And the root word consist literally means to be made up of, that which we are made up of. So inconsistency is a rotting element when it comes to being consistent. And as we study the life of Saul, we'll note some principles concerning inconsistency. And as we study these principles, I'd like to encourage us all to have a humility of mind and spirit and be teachable, that God might help us to be consistent and not follow the example of King Saul. In Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14, there is a reference to Caleb. Caleb is a wonderful example of consistency. A man that stood firm. Certainly not perfect, but yet he stood firm. Even in the midst of wilderness wandering, he stood firm. But I'd like for us to note this evening some characteristics in Saul's life that led to his inconsistency. Lesson number one, please. When godly leadership is absent, this often leads to inconsistency. When godly leadership is absent, this often leads to inconsistency. We note then verse number 3 that Samuel, the great judge and prophet, is dead. The importance of godly leadership in our lives cannot be underestimated. Very, very important for you and I to have role models, because it's these role models that will help us to be consistent. And often inconsistency is found in the life of an individual because they simply do not have consistent role models. That's not difficult to work out, is it? The Apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." See, godly leadership will show us the way to go and how to get there. Godly leadership in your life and in my life will help us to be consistent. See, no man is an island unto himself. We all affect or infect one another. And brethren, if we are to be consistent, then we need godly leadership. The Bible teaches us that Samuel is dead. Now, it must be said that Saul had little concern, really, when it came to Samuel. He didn't take much, if any, advice from Samuel. But nevertheless, there was a role model there in Samuel, the man of God. But yet we see really very little evidence that Saul consulted Samuel, unless he was in dire straits or had a problem. Every now and again he would consult, but there's little evidence that he ever followed through on that leadership. And brethren, one of the causes of inconsistency is the absence of godly leadership. Godly leadership within our homes. Godly leadership within our churches. Godly leadership. When godly leadership is absent, this is often a cause for inconsistency. Parents, it's just so important that we provide godly leadership for our children. I believe the top 3 mistakes that parents make are, number 1, a failure to discipline their children. Number 2, a failure to provide spiritual instruction for their children. And number 3, inconsistency. Because our children are watching, and sometimes we can be guilty, parents, of being frustrated because our children are being inconsistent. But if the truth be known, well, where's the role model concerning consistency? When godly leadership is absent, this often leads to inconsistency. We read here in 1 Samuel chapter 28 that Samuel has died. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30, God said, "I'm prepared to hold back judgment if there's just one man that's willing to stand in the gap." And yet the Bible teaches us that God could not find one. Yes, we must take responsibility for our lives. Saul had to take responsibility for his choices that he made. But at the same time, for those of us that have an opportunity to influence, whether you be a Christian, whether you be a parent, whether you be a ministry leader, we are accountable before God. And we are influencing somebody. And inconsistency is often the fruit of the absence of godly leadership. What are we doing to promote consistency around us? I'm mindful of Joshua of old in his day. Boy, the nation of Israel was pushing forward, were they not? Conquered the land. But once Joshua died, well, the book of Judges comes next, and every man did right that which was in his own eyes, the Bible teaches us. There was an absence of godly leadership. When godly leadership is absent, this is often a cause for inconsistency. Whether it be in the church or whether it be in the home, yes, the buck stops with you, child of God. Yes, the buck stops with you, parent. Yes, with you, spiritual leader. Inconsistency could be simply a mirror of your life. So don't bark too loud, my friend. Don't bark too loud. When godly leadership is absent, this often leads to inconsistency. Samuel is dead. Lesson number two this evening, another cause or a possible cause for inconsistency. What fuels inconsistency in our lives? Number one, an absence of godly leadership. Secondly, listen carefully, when obedience is not grounded, that is, obedience to the Word of God is not grounded on the Word of God. When obedience is not grounded on principles from the Word of God, then that can lead to inconsistency. Now, note there the second part of verse number 3. The Bible teaches us, and Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. So according to this verse, Saul has previously removed all occult practices out of the land of Israel. And the Bible teaches us that to be involved in occult practices was an abomination to God. He did that which was right. He was obedient to the Word of God. But we will see, in God's fullness of time, at one point he removes occult practices out of the land, but at a point of crisis he consults somebody that's involved in occult practice. And my question is, why? And I believe that one of the reasons why many God's people are inconsistent and why we fail to be consistent from time to time is because our obedience is not grounded on the principles of the Word of God. And therefore, it is not a conviction. It's not a conviction. Saul knew what the Bible taught. Go to Leviticus, please, chapter 20. Quickly, Leviticus chapter 20. Verse number 6. God said to remove all those that deliberately and continued in occult practices. God told the nation of Israel, you were to destroy them, to remove them out of the land if they would not repent. Note here in verse number 6, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. So God placed a very heavy sentence upon those that were involved in occult practices. Look at verse 27. A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them.
So God sentenced those that willfully worship the devil to be sentenced to death. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, this is not referring to those that were willing to repent. This is referring to those that willingly and deliberately worship the prince and power of the air. God said these people were to be addressed. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, please. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Then the Bible teaches us in verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Verse 13, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. So God instructed his people not to be involved in occult practices. And Saul knew the score, and at one point within his ministry, he drove out. He dealt with those that were involved in occult practices. But we will see shortly as we study this passage of Scripture that at a moment of crisis, Saul, in his desperation, consults the witch of Endor. Inconsistency. Why? Listen to me carefully. When obedience is not grounded on principles found in the Word of God, there will be inconsistency. Saul was obedient to God's Word outwardly, when it was convenient for him to be so. But when it came to a personal need in his life, he violates what he knows to be right. See, previously it was no skin off his nose to remove and punish those that were involved in the occult. Brethren, many of God's people and many of us struggle with consistency, listen to me, because we conform, but we're really not convinced. We conform, but we're really not convinced. For example, you conform in this church by using the King James Bible. We believe the King James Bible is the perfect Word of God. Now, I don't just believe that for the sake of believing that, because my grandma taught me that, and I believe that because God said, I have preserved my word, and the word of the God, and the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I believe that it's a conviction for me, see? But I'm afraid that for many of God's people, they use the word of God because, the King James Bible, that is, because, well, that's what we use in our church. You be careful, the day will come. When you'll find yourself in a crisis, you'll find yourself in a situation where somebody will criticize you and laugh at you, and you might find that you no longer use the King James Bible. See, when obedience is not grounded in the Word of God, it leads to inconsistency. I believe Saul conformed because that's what you did. You got rid of those people that were involved in the occult. But at a moment of crisis, we find Saul consulting a witch. Inconsistency. When obedience is not grounded in the Word of God. To ask the question why is a good thing. Why do we use the King James Bible? Ask yourself that question. Can you answer that question? If you can't really answer that question, you're in danger, my friend, of being inconsistent. Why are you in an independent Baptist church? Why are you here? If you can't answer that question, you are in danger of being inconsistent. Why do you listen to the music that you listen to? Why do you have the values that you hold? Is it because, well, you know, that's just what we do? Well, that's not good enough, brethren. That's not good enough. Parents, listen to me. Your children, my children, need to understand why we have the standards in these areas. Because obedience that is not grounded upon principles in the Word of God are in danger of leading to inconsistency. Do we simply conform to a standard, or do we really believe that? Is that a conviction? See, I'm an independent Baptist not because it's convenient to be one. I'm an independent Baptist because I believe the Bible. And I will die an independent Baptist because it harmonizes with the Word of God. I'll never be a Presbyterian. I'll never be an Anglican. In fact, I'd rather go to heaven than be such. And I'll certainly never be a charismatic. I'm an independent Baptist because Baptists identify with the Bible. I'm not ashamed of that. That's my conviction. We will always have the name Baptist on this church. And if you don't understand that's important, well, you need to come and have a coffee with me. You pay for the coffee. See? When obedience is not grounded in the Word of God, then you are in danger of being inconsistent. See, Saul, at one point, deals with those people involved in the occult. But surely we'll see that he consults a witch in his moment of crisis. He conformed, but he was not convinced. My friend, are you convinced about the doctrines that you believe? Are you convinced about the standards that you have? If you are not, you need to work it out, brethren, because if you can't point to book, chapter, and verse as to why you're in this church, why you use the King James Bible, why you believe the standards that you believe, why you listen to the music you listen to, you are in danger of becoming inconsistent. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Don't look at me funny. Yes, you are. This time next year, you might be in Hillsong. If you don't know why you believe the music that you hear here, that's where you might end up. See? You mark my words. I can tell you pastors' children that are now in Hillsong. It's a shame. May God deliver us. May God deliver us. Lesson number three. Are we still friends? Okay. Lesson number three that can lead to inconsistency. Number one, when there is an absence of godly leadership. Number two, when obedience is not grounded in the Word of God, so therefore it's not conviction. Lesson number three, when there's a crisis. When there's a crisis, we can be tempted to be inconsistent. Note there in verse number 4, the Bible teaches us, the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And note Saul's response in verse 5, he was afraid, and he was greatly troubled or trembled, the Bible teaches us. The third lesson I'd like for us to note this evening that can be a cause for inconsistency is that when you and I find ourselves in a crisis. See, the armies of the Philistines have assembled themselves to attack Israel. Saul and his men are ready for battle. How easy it is for you and I to be consistent when everything is going well. Somebody say amen. That's easy. But when trouble comes or temptation is before us, then it's a little bit harder to be consistent, is it not? A crisis will either build you or break you. And if God allows a crisis in your life, God is not out to destroy you. God is out to build you.
see, how many have crumbled at a point of crisis? And we see within this chapter that Saul is inconsistent because he finds himself in a crisis and he does not respond in a spiritual fashion. How many likewise have crumbled under the pressure of the hour? How many of us have crumbled at a point of crisis in our lives? At a point of temptation? I'm mindful of Achan. There he is. Nobody around. And he convinced himself that nobody will ever find out if I take these goods for myself. How wrong he was. People are tempted to gamble in financial crisis. Young people are tempted to be unequally yoked in their desire to have a lifetime partner. Though the Bible teaches very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that we are not to be unequally yoked, what fellowship has light with darkness, how many young people in their desperation, in their desire to have a mate for life, have entered into a relationship with a person that is not part of the family of God. Inconsistency often arises at the time of crisis. It was Job in the midst of crisis that said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. What about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Said to King Nebuchadnezzar, God's going to deliver us. God's going to deliver us out of fiery furnace. But if God chooses not to deliver us out of fiery furnace, we're not bowing the knee to your idol. We're going to still serve God, whether God chooses to or chooses not to. Now that wasn't a statement of faithlessness. That was a statement of, we're not shifting. We're going to be consistent. If God chooses to allow us to die, we'll die. If God chooses to deliver us, so be it. Crisis often leads to inconsistency. Lesson number 4, quickly. When our perspective is outward only and not upward. Note then verse number 5, the Bible reads, when Saul saw the host of the Philistines. When our perspective is outward and not upward, this can lead to inconsistency. As Saul observed the enemy, he trembled. There is no indication from this passage of Scripture that he took a true spiritual slant on this situation. Saul was very selfish in nature. He gave very little evidence of spirituality in his life. Spent much of his reign in trying to kill a man by the name of David who loved the king, wanted to honor and serve the king. And see, Saul's problem was that he looked out to the host of the Philistines. But the Bible doesn't teach that Saul looked up. He looked out, but didn't look up. And listen to me this evening. When our perspective is outward only, and it's not upward to the Lord, likewise, we can be tempted to be inconsistent. This is so different to some of the greats of the past. What about David before Goliath? As Goliath stood before David, this almost 10-foot giant, David had an upward look. He said, basically, in essence, to Goliath, my God's bigger than you. My God's bigger than you. What about Hezekiah as he noted the Assyrian army, 185,000 of them? He went to prayer. He looked upward. See, we can be tempted to be inconsistent when our perspective is outward and not upward. We need to be eternally minded, do we not? We need to set our affections upon things above, Colossians chapter 3. We need to keep our eyes upon Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. See, if we just look outwardly and fail to look upward, we can be guilty of being inconsistent. And last but not least this evening, note then verse number 6. Saul was impatient. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, verse 6, the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Saul was impatient. Saul did ask the Lord for some guidance. And the Bible teaches us that the heavens were silent. God did not answer him. And I can't help but think that possibly Saul was going through the motions of inquiring help from the Lord, but yet he was impatient. And as one author said, if this had been done truly and heartily, who knows what the results might have been. There is no indication here that Saul fasted and prayed about his current situation. But as we study the life of Saul, I think you have to agree with me that one of the characteristics of this man was that he was impatient. He was impulsive. He was impatient. So I had no problems accepting the fact that in this situation, Saul goes through the motions of inquiring, asking for help of the Lord, but it's not genuine. It's not heartfelt. It's not in a persevering fashion. The heavens were silent for a time. One wonders if God would have answered Saul's request if he had genuinely sought help. Brethren, we need to learn to be patient. We need to learn to wait upon the Lord. And often inconsistency prevails in your life and in my life because we are impatient. We need to wait upon the Lord. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews there are great rewards for those that are patient. Hebrews chapter 10, please. We'll close with this. Verses 36 to 38, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The Bible teaches us that we need patience, do we not? And often we be guilty of being inconsistent because we're impatient. Impatient. I found in life there are really not that many shortcuts. When you're young and zealous, you look with enthusiasm for shortcuts. But as you get a little bit older, you realize that there really aren't that many shortcuts. And many of the so-called shortcuts in life are not really shortcuts at all. In fact, they often are the long way round. We need to be patient. Saul demonstrated a failure to be patient. We see this in Saul's life time and time again. I don't think I need to convince you of that, do I? He was impatient. There is a connection between impatience and inconsistency. Oh yes, you might want it to happen yesterday, but that's not how it goes. It takes time. God works according to His timetable, not your timetable. And often many of God's people find themselves inconsistently reacting to situations because they have chosen to be impatient. Inconsistency. Its cause, well, we've noted a number of principles this evening. 5, in fact, when godly leadership is absent, that can lead to inconsistency. When obedience is not grounded on the Word of God, that can lead to inconsistency. In a time of crisis, be careful. That might be a point where you or I can be tempted to be inconsistent. Or 4, when our perspective is outward and it's not upward, we can be inconsistent. And last but not least, when you and I fail to just simply wait upon the Lord and be patient, that also can lead to inconsistency. 5 causes of inconsistency in Saul's life. Next time we'll note the curses. What curse is connected with inconsistency? And Lord willing, we'll look at the cure for inconsistency in God's fullness of time. But let me ask you this evening, is your life consistent? Is your life consistent? Is my life consistent? We're not referring to perfection. We're talking about obedience to the Word of God. Staying within the boundaries of the Word of God. And as Martin Luther said of old, this is where I stand. I can do no other. I can't help it. I've just got to stand here. I've worked it out. This is what I believe. The just shall live by faith. And that's where he stood. There's a conviction in his heart and soul. And brethren, we need to be convinced. We need to know where we stand, lest we waver. May God help us to live consistent lives. And may God deliver us from impatience and looking outwardly and not looking upwardly. May God help us in the midst of crisis to keep our eyes upon Him. May God help us to look to godly examples and follow these godly examples as markers of Christ-likeness. May God help us to obey the Word of God, because this is what the Bible teaches, and this is what we know the Bible teaches, and this is a conviction based upon the Word of God. That's where you and I need to be. Otherwise, you won't be here next year. No, you will not. You'll end up in a charismatic church. You'll end up in some heresy church. You won't be in church if you don't know what you believe and why you believe it. May God help us to be people of the book and not just conform, but we believe the book and we're willing to die for the book. May God help us. That's the type of people I want to hang around. And by God's grace, that's the type of person I want to be. And that's the type of father I'm striving to be, somebody that just stands somewhere predictable for God's glory. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer. Let's be upstanding.